Woman Shear Wednesday afternoon, Chavis Halvavas. Shar Yichat HaMaisa, Wednesday, Gimel Adar. And we're towards the end of Perek Hey, and we finished. Okay, we're up to, I don't think anybody's keeping count, but we're up to number 9 of the last 12. Okay, we're up to number 9. Bimlo Yagiacha Chitzov, the arrows of the Yetzihara. Because the Chavikalovas taught us what to answer back, how to fight the pituyim, how to fight the enticements. But Yetzer doesn't give up, and he keeps on coming from different angles. That's what this whole perek was full of, the different angles of the Yetzer. So now comes number 9. Yero Voscha, he will ambush you, because you know, the Yetzer Hara is not, he doesn't announce himself as the Yetzer Hara, as the Chavis HaLavos wrote in the Hakdama to this Perek, in his opening words, he doesn't announce himself as the Yetzer Hara. You think it's you, thinking logical thoughts. And so he said that part of the reason he's writing this Perek is that you should recognize you should recognize those thoughts for what it is. It's not a separate being. It's us. It's the side of us that wants to fulfill our own needs or wants or desires that are not always kosher. Yeravoscha beitos hatzlochoscha. He has a certain approach which is appropriate both for when things are going well in your life, and when things are not going so well, which seems to be most of the time, and there's always bumps in the road and obstacles and problems and aggravations and nisyonos. So, but he has like a common denominator approach, so to speak, which works for whatever situation you will find yourself in. And now he goes on to say what it is. The basic approach of number 9 is that doing Avodas Hashem, focusing your life on Avodas Hashem, which is what should be done. Chavis HaLavos certainly wants us to understand that that applies to our whole lives, everything we do in our life, not just when we're doing so-called mitzvahs. And you say, oh, right now I'm doing a mitzvah, and then I go back to regular life. But that everything I do with my life, even if women, this is especially nogea to men who work, it's especially nogea to women who work in the house, is especially nogea to. So everything is about the Hashem, and all we have to do is have the kavana that we're doing it because it's the Ratzon Hashem. But generally, but this basic approach of the Yetzer Hara in this number 9 is to make Avodas Hashem seem difficult to do, insurmountable obstacles in its way, something that just doesn't get you to where you want to go. It's just a burden. And to involve, in contrast and contradistinction to that, things that are temporal and this world and things that you do because you enjoy them and because it gives you pleasure, then you'll get ahead. It's easy to do. You can accomplish, you can change your life by applying yourself more to, let's say, your job, or applying yourself more to having a social network, or applying yourself more to, you know, all the things that are of Olam Hazeh. Al-Kain, U'v'chashayi u'anyanecha holchem kertzoncho, and things seem to be going well. Yom Alecha, he says, they're going well, right? Rich people think that they're smart also. That's an unfortunate consequence. If you remember, you're fiddler on the roof, so when they say when you're rich, they think you really know, right? That's a line in the song. And it's very, very true. Maybe we don't think of it as blatantly as that, and maybe those words are not as blatant, but there's a certain assumption that we know what we're doing, and it's because I am Zoriz, and because I am applying myself, ze pri hishtadluscha. This is the peiros of your hishtadlus, right? Hishtadlus is kosher. It's only when you think that the result is a result of the hishtadlus that it becomes treif. But hishtadlus, ze pri hishtadluscha, this is the fruit, the totsa'oh of your hishtadlus, the tachpul osecha, and your figuring out plans of how to do this, for chachmosecha, okay, and therefore, he says, apply yourself even more. Hishtadel b'inyonei olomecha, keep at it, utrach bohem, and make sure you continue in this way, and even do more. Yasmid l'cha inyon hazeh, when things are going well, he says, make sure, right, the person will start thinking, maybe I could work a little less, and learn a little more, be more involved in chesed, maybe now I have time to daven, things are going well. So he wants to wipe that thought from your mind, and he says, no, at the rabbi, he says, make sure you don't change anything you're doing. You have to keep at it. Yasmid l'cha enyan azeh. When things are going well, so instead of thinking that now you could pull back and not be so involved, he says, Adarabba, you have to increase your involvement. V'tale l'mayla mimena, and you'll be even more successful. He takes your success and he drives you to build on that success for more success, and you get even more involved in this world. V'kabel hayom ma'elu b'simcha, and this is the Yetzirah talking, and enjoy yourself, v'hisno'im bohem, ki od ma'at mizer v'yikra b'shmecha, because, you know, there's a pasuk, very interesting. Think about this. The pasuk says that Rishoim say, and this is the words of the Navi, right, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the words of the Navi. What? So that's what the Rosha says. So you say, wait a second, but it says in Pirkei Avos that Shuv Yomecha Lefnei Misascha, that a person should always imagine he's going to die the next day. So apparently there are mamish two, and this is where the Yetzer Hara comes in. There's two ways to approach our mortality, apparently. And this is the difference that doesn't make an Esav says, Hinei anochi holech lamus v'lamos ali b'chora. Let me enjoy myself while I can. Right, this is what he's saying here. Ki od ma'at mizer v'yikra b'shmecha, meaning you'll be called to the pearly gates, to the Beis Shemayla, the Tana es Elokecha, and you'll have to, you know, that's the end of life, El Machshakei HaKever, and in the Kever there's nothing going on. So if you want to enjoy yourself, you want to read that book, see that movie, you have to finish up your shopping now. There's no shopping in the Kever. Mokom She'en Chochma V'lo Tenua V'lo Hano'a V'lo Tsar. Now that's not really the case. There is Tsar, there is Char V'onesh, and there's right, we say in Pirkei Avos, Yofesh ha'achas shel koras ruach b'olam haba mikol chayei olam hazeh, right, the pleasure that the neshama experiences in olam haba is worth more than any olam hazeh pleasure that we can imagine. But the Yetzirah talking, and he says, chapa right now, you want to experience everything there is to experience, soon you'll be old, you'll be in the old age home, you won't be able to see the Alps, and make sure you go and you experience things and you do things. You have to chapa right now. And people do think this way. Right? He's presenting it in maybe exaggerated form, but you know, let me do this now. Who knows when else I'll get a chance to do it. And without thinking, does that thing have value in the first place? The fact that you won't have another chance to do it is not really a machayev that you should do it. You have to examine it objectively if it has value, not just to do it because you won't get another chance to do it. When will I, right, and do it? When will I ever go on a cruise? When will I ever see the world? When will I ever see Peru? I'll never go to Peru in my whole life. I'll never go to Peru. And we're laughing, but that definitely that's people, especially nowadays when so many things are available to the, things used to be only available to kings and to the wealthiest people, whether it's music or singing or experiences, and now they're available to every Joe Schmo in the street who has a little disposable income. So we could connect to the whole world. He could see anything, do anything, go places. It doesn't cost that much to take an around the world tour, an around the world cruise ship. So it's not, people do it, and they have kosher ones with good kosher entertainment on board. And you could do anything on a cruise ship. It's like a whole world. They recreate the whole world. So you say, "Oh, when am I going to get a chance to do this?" The Tanes Alokera Bokum Shein Chokmah, and you know, in the Kever, you're not going to have time to do anything. The Yosim Ra Yosel Alzer, and he'll even quote a pasuk, right? As we saw many times, the Yitzhar is very adept at quoting Sukkim and Maimorei Chazal, and here's a Beferish pasuk in Koheles Kol Asher Timtza. Look at this pasuk, unbelievable. Kol Asher Timtza Yod Chalazos B'Kochach Haasei. Do things that whatever you're capable of doing, chaperein and do it. Ki ein maase v'cheshbon v'daz v'chochma b'sha'ol. That's the kever asher atoholech shama. So you have to chaperein and do things. So again, when a person is matzliach, he's usually in a good mood, and he assigns his success, his or her success, to themselves and the fact that they work by merits and they accomplish things. So do more and accomplish more. You don't know when you'll get another chance, and this is an opportunity you can't pass up. Now really, we know that the pasuk in Koheles is talking about Torah and mitzvahs. Kol asher timtza yod chalasos b'kochach haasei. Because olam haba, as wonderful as it is, but there's no mitzvahs to do. You can't grow in olam haba. It's not a place of growth, according to most mefarshim. It's not a place of growth. So again, when things are going well, he says, do, this is gewaldic, keep doing, do more, experience more pleasure, don't, your time's running out, right? Again, kimochar nomus is used by Rishoim in the Novi, or by the Yetzirah, to egg you on to do things that have no... and no value. But let me experience things while I can. Well, the tzaddik says, kimochar nomus, mamish, the exact opposite attitude, which is shuv yomecha lufnei misascha, because you don't know when you'll die, so always do tshuva a day before you die. That's the way Chazal described it, almost euphemistically, shuv yomecha lefnei misascha, which means every day. And it's the same thing, right? I can think of it's really amazing how thinking of the Yom HaMisa could lead a person to do not good things, inappropriate things, because soon I'll be dead and I won't be able to do anything. And I'm in this world, and Hashem put me in this world. And you have a pasuk in Koheles, you probably have a couple of Gemaras to quote, and well, let me chap a rein, and then a different person will look at Yom HaMisa and say, look, the whole thing is a joke, it's going to last for 70 years, 80 years, let's say 90 years, 100 years, it's 120, and then it's all over, so then what am I going to have to show for it? So that's what the Yetzer does when things are going well. And ubatzar lecha, this is very insidious, and Nobody will admit, but nobody will like to admit that they have the thoughts that the Chavis Halvavis is about to describe, but people do have these thoughts, and nobody's asking, we're not asking for a mass confessional here, but you have to recognize the Chavis Halvavis, he's not embarrassed to say things that people are thinking, and he's very, very insightful, as we've seen throughout the Sefer. So he's not ashamed. Look at this. Ubatzar lecha, when things are not going well, he'll say, look around, and it's the Rishoyim that are having a good life, and you who are who are moisa nefesh, you are moisa nefesh for Torah and mitzvahs, you have a difficult life. And many times it's true, right? But we don't know Hashem's cheshbonos, and we don't know what's good and what's bad. But someone was just telling me, someone in the shul is masasa, a woman in the shul is masasek with shiduchim for kol balei tshuva, geiruses and the like, geirim also. And you know, what do you tell a girl who had a terrific social life when she wasn't frum, and then she becomes frum, and that's frum, or maybe she's even a geirus, I don't know which, I forgot now which, and now she's, you know, her social life's over. What normal social life is to someone not frum, and certainly to goyim, has been cut off. And now she's getting older and older and older and older, and you know, she has 2.5 strikes against her, and you know, so I don't know the person at all, and but you can't help but think, what is this person? Do they regret what they did? It's very hard, very very tremendous nisayon. Say, look at me, I was living a good life, I was happy, I was a normal person, and now they don't want to take my person. A lot of times, Bali Tshuva have this. They don't want to take my kids into the cheder, and they don't want to let their kids play by me, and they don't want to. They don't welcome me into their social circle. They suspect that I'm going to corrupt them. People have it rough. A lot of times, it's. We can assign, many times there are reasons why, and those reasons need great effort and should be should be something that's, you know, there's curative organizations, and there's starting to be more talk about follow-up and holding the people's hands after they do tshuva and helping them in life, because then they move and then they have all sorts of problems and issues. But Kaponim is talking about the Tahara, says, look around. The people that you say are not living the good life, they're happy. That's what you think. That's what, you know, you don't see what. Rishon always look happy. Rishon look successful. They look happy. Sometimes it's true. Most of the time, they have horrible lives. Whether it's family life or whether it's nachas ruach, and this kid went away and doesn't call them up anymore, and this kid, all. But the Etzahara says, look around you, and sometimes it seems almost uncanny that a person, let's say, I have men who have devoted more time to learning, and like 2 weeks later they got fired from their job, and it's very hard. It's very very big nisayon. But that's okay. If everybody here saw the movie, what's it called? Ushpizin. Mm-hmm. Ushpizin. So he tells him one of Rav Nachman's teachings is that you overcome a certain midah. When he overcame his anger and he changed himself, right, the hero in the movie. And then there's a tremendous nisayon, right? That's what he was faced with. The esrog was possible. They took the esrog, and the sukkah was possible because it was a stolen sukkah. And his wife left him, and they're like, his whole world crashed. And then his Rebbe, his Rav, showed him in Rav Nachman that this is the way it works many times. You overcome a midah, and then you have a tremendous nisayon thrown at you to test your mettle if you really have changed. And you have every reason in the world. That's like the story of the movie, is that he has every reason. Any normal person would like really blow up. Apparently he was a kaisen in his former life, and then he became a Baal Tshuva, and he was Kovish, the Mid of Kas, and then this series of events happened, and like any normal person would blow up, would go berserk, and he overcame the Nisoyan. That's like the story of the movie at that point, and he overcame that Nisoyan, and he didn't get angry, he controlled himself, he ran out, okay, whatever, you know. So, but that's what he tells them. And this is not a Breslova idea. This is really brought down in many traditional Svarim as well. That Hashem tests you, and then you seem to change and overcome the test, and then he tests you even more. almost as if he's testing if your change was real, or just you were caught up in a fit of frumkeit, of religiosity, of, you were inspired, but it was really momentary, it wasn't really something that you've internalized and really, really changed, so you get like a big nisayon, whether it's in emuna, or in bitachon, or in, like I said, in this case it was kas. Anyway, so that's what the Yetzer says, look around. And this is, I say, a lot, many people, like, better themselves, and then the Yetzer says, you know, ever since you've bettered yourself, you've made less money, and you have a more difficult life, and this is not working, and that's not working. Like, what? You go back to the way it used to be, when you were happy, and things were good, and you had more money, and you had more respect of your peers, and this is real. And he says, when you have it rough, Yaver Alibcha, he will make you think, because many times it's not true. Tovas HaRishoim, Batzlachas HaKofrim, they seem to be happy and they have it good and everything is easy for them and they're marrying off their children and they're, right? Kemoshen Emar, Yishloyu Ohalim L'Shodedim, which literally means that it seems that the ohale, the tents of the shodadim, of robbers, are b'shalva, uvetuchos l'margizekel, and margizekel, those who anger Hashem, seem to be betuchos, they're shochnim l'vetach. Have it good. V'yomar l'cho, lo nichlas alecha hetzer hazeh. You know why your life is messed up? Because you're not in the real world. You're living a world of ruchnius, and you're in your own world, you're spaced out, and you're not talking Lashon Hara, so people think you're a little funny, and you only eat Mahadran Hechsherim, so people don't invite you to the houses anymore, they're scared, you're gonna start yelling at them, and you're losing all your friends. Lo nichlas alecha hetzer hazeh elo nesha davakta ba'avodas elokim uv'mitzvosov. You became more concerned with ruchnius, and you're losing out, and the whole world's collapsing, and you're like, you're messing everything up. And you can't handle things. There's no tachlis to the way you're living. You gotta get back into it. You have to live this life. So if things are going well, if you would forget this nourishkeit, that you have to do mitzvahs, and you have to serve Hashem, and the ikur is to think of others, not of yourself. Get rid of this nourishkeit. See, Chavis HaLavavis is not afraid to say these words, right? Someone can open up a Chavis HaLavavis and just read it out of context and say, wow, look what the Chavis HaLavavis is telling me to do. This is gevaldik. Right? The guy goes into the shul and he hears people screaming, Va'avadatem Elohim Acherim, the Sanuach Lo Mimenu, and just leave off this way of living. Then you go back, you'll be a normal person, and you'll have fun, and you'll have a good time, and you'll have a pleasant life. The people you call Rishoim, they're having it good. They're getting into the paper, and the people look at them, they look up to them, and you're a fashlept or nothing. Hello, Tira, and he said, the pasuk tells you, what do you need this for? Hello, Tira, Mashamar Akosa, Bekrovaya Kodesh. Hashem punishes the tzaddikim. Hashem, right, not even of you died, and oh, because they're such great people. So you know, he tells you, believe me, you don't want this kind of greatness. What do you need it for? But Omar, and look at this pasuk in almost, and it's very true, it's very deep. But the Yetzer Hara tells you, Rak Eschem Yodati Mikol Mishpachol So Adoma, Alkein Efkod Aleichem is Kol Avon Oseichem, which is quite literally true, but you twist it and you say, who needs this religion? Who needs this? Who needs to say that Hashem, right? What did Tetevye say in Fiddle on the Roof? He said, we're the chosen people. Can't you choose someone else once in a while? Right? That's what he said. Who needs this? So you have to know what to answer. Okay, you're right. So very difficult. It's very well said. You know it's wrong. That's our chinuch, or either we learned it or we taught it to ourselves. But this is what the Yetzer Hara tries to do. This is the Yetzer Hara talking. That what do you need this for? Chuck it all. Look around. You're only messed up.
So how do you answer?
Wait, we're going to... So this is all one thing. First of all, when he sees things are going well in your life, he doesn't want you to ascribe it that you're davening good, that you're being more spiritual, and that's why you're being more matzliach. He pushes you to see the cause of it as your involvement in Olam Hazeh, and he urges you to do it more. You want continued hatzlacha, work more hours. You want continued pleasure, and you want an interesting life, a pleasurable life, go do more of what you're doing in terms of gashmius. And that's if things are going well. So he says, you know, the reason is because of your involvement in this world, and do more and you'll be even better, you'll enjoy yourself even more, become even more wealthy, look out for yourself more. And if things are not going well, he attributes it, or he wants to have you attribute it to the ruchniyah side of your life, and say, yeah, of course you messed up. What do you do the first hour of the day? You daven. You know, you gotta get out there. It's a rat race out there, and you have to take care of things, and you start your day off at 9 o'clock instead of at 8 o'clock because you're busy davening. Like, who needs that? What good did it do you? And he says things that are very, it's a big nisayon, right? Are from people, you know, the Chagallah is not afraid to say it, so I also won't be. Are from people sick less than not from people? I don't see it. The statistics don't show for that. They don't get better quicker or more. So what do you need it for? What do you need betochen for? What do you need tefillah for? What do you need these things for? Really, it would be, in some circles, it would be also to talk like this. But I'm saying, we're learning Chagas HaBodas, he's not afraid to talk like that, and he wants you to recognize such thoughts as being thoughts of the Eitzahara. He wants you to, light bulb to go on in your head, and you say, oh, that sounds very familiar. We learned that in Chagas HaBodas. This is not me talking. I don't really feel that way. This is my Yetzirah, this is the bad side of me that wants to push me into chet, that wants to push me away from Hashem. And so that's one area. Well, that's, look, he says a few things in number 9. We're going to go weiter now. So first is this: if things are going well, he says this is because of your involvement in Olam Hazeh, and if things are not going well, he says this is because of your involvement in Olam Haba. Ukshehu roeh, and like the converse is also true. If he sees shatamaskim lasos meuma mimaise avoda, and if he sees you want to get involved in ruchnius, you're inspired. You heard a shir, and you got inspired, and you say, you know, really, I should really find more time to daven. I really should find more time to do chesed. I really should be more zohir in Ben Odom Achaveiro, and you're inspired to do that. The Yetzirah will come and tell you it's too hard, it's impossible, you can't do it. You're just going to mess yourself up. You're going to make yourself crazy. Yigdal Alecha and Yanohu Bimagdal, it'll make it into a huge mountain that you can't climb. V'yavchitcha mimenu, and he'll make you be afraid of taking that step, because it's too hard, and it'll mess up the rest of your life, and people will make fun of you, and he'll just paint it in a very negative light. For example, v'yamiyah me'inyan ha-tzom, a few places in the Chayvus HaLavus, he talks about tzom, fasting, as a very admirable thing to do. Obviously not every day, obviously not every other day, but it's good. It's just like Yom Kippur. It's good to be poreish totally from food and drink for a day. And people used to do that apparently. Nowadays we're considered to be weak, and people wouldn't dream of, or at least most people wouldn't think of doing this. And it's tough enough to get them to fast the Tanaisim that Yom Kippur to fast. But that's what he does. V'miya minyan atzom, if it's in the area of fasting, he say, Yom L'chol Hizohar, be careful. Now this doesn't sound like the Eitzahara, it sounds like the Eitzatov, right? Ki yachlish oscho, it'll make you weak. V'yachli yachla, chas v'shon, you might get sick from it. V'im na'acha minyone olomcho, v'achrisecho, and you're not going to be able to contribute to the world, you're not going to be able to live. It's going to take away from you're going to be weak and you won't be able to do anything, you're going to have a headache. Don't bother with such things. Another thing you find many times throughout the Chovetz Chavos, he talks about it at length in Shar Avas Hashem, which we didn't get to yet, that it would be a good idea to listen to it now also, because it's very good. We're busy a whole day. Chavis Halavas recognizes that you're busy a whole day, and he wants you to take advantage of the solitude of night, and he talks about davening then. We would think of it probably as saying Tillim, or other tefillos that speak to us. And it's a time of his bodhidus with Hashem, and it's quiet, and even we have, you know, the phone's not ringing, and the kids are sleeping already, Baruch Hashem, for the sixth time that night, they went to sleep. And it's quiet, because the whole day it's noisy and busy. And so he has, his picture is to daven at night, not Shmona Esrei, he's not even talking about Tefillah Shmona Esrei, he talks about talking to Hashem, the way the most basic definition of davening. So he mentions it throughout the Sefer, and he talks about it more at length in Shari Avos Hashem. Here is another place where he mentions it. V'miyah me'inyan teisefes tefillah balayla, ir tefillos at night, yale alipcha. So he'll say, well, it's much more excited to go to sleep. You're tired, you never get enough sleep. What are you wasting time for? Last time you did that, it didn't accomplish anything, you didn't gain anything from it. So you might as well go to sleep and get a better night's sleep. It's better than food even, which of course in the right context is certainly true. That's why it's such a powerful weapon of the Yetzer Hara. He wants to misapply it, but it's certainly true to a degree, right? No one will deny that sleeping is necessary for one's health, although the Chavis HaVadis Grader says, and we learned this in Shara Vodos HaLokim, that the two things it's okay to go overboard on is not to talk, to go overboard in being quiet, not talking. Talking only gets you into trouble, he says. And the Olam reacted very negatively to that, if you remember. But those of you who remember that a week later, a lady came in and said, you know, I tried it out, and it's taka wonderful. It's taka the most wonderful thing in the world. What do you have to talk for? Talking only gets you into trouble. And so he says two things. You can go, you can be an extremist in two areas: not talking and not sleeping. Obviously, he doesn't mean to the point where itaka makes you sick and your taka can't function the next day because you're so tired. That's right. There would be no point in that. He couldn't possibly mean that. But he means pushing the envelope. Pushing the envelope. Now maybe others hold not like him. The Rambam maybe will say, no, you better get 8 hours sleep no matter what. Or maybe as you get older you need less sleep, even according to the science, to the doctors, you need 6 hours sleep. And as you get older you need less sleep. But let's see, so maybe so machoyle put chayim sal vavus. I don't know. But he says these two things you should be extremist in. Being quiet and not sleeping. Yes. Okay, and Chanami, then you have to examine what you're doing with your time. Right? Just like they thought that the computer would make a paperless office, and all it did was increase the amount of paper by 100-fold. So, artificial light, I think people might be better off sleeping. Right? And also, you know, there's this doctor in Bayit Vegan, I don't know if he's alive still or not, I hope he is. But he insists that all these issues people have with their kids is all because children don't get anywhere near enough sleep. Nowhere near. They don't, because the parents are up and the house is labor-dick and the lights are all on and it's like daytime and they just don't get enough sleep. And he blames all the machlis and all the behavioral issues. That's his thing. They need more sleep. And really, if you look at it from an objective viewpoint, like, let's say my 12-year-old. So on a good night, when he's behaving, right, so he sleeps, let's say, from 10, 10:30 till 7. So how many hours is that? That's like, what is that, 10 to 7, it's not so bad. 9 hours. 9 hours, that's not bad, 9 hours for a 12-year-old. But that's on a good night. And okay. The Shomeres Briusacha, and the schools are at full also. No, they start very early. Anyway, it says, go to sleep. So when a person has a very spiritual, there's a spiritual time in a person's life. Again, everybody has their own moments. And although this is world, those moments are at night when you, he talks about always davening extra, doing extra tefillos at night. So the Torah wants to pull you away from that. He wants to pull you away from your ruchniyistika moments. And he says, oh, other Abba, the time would be better spent if you would sleep and catch up on your sleep and rest. V'miyeh minyoni hatztaka, so a person's inspired to give more tztaka. He says, oh, you know, you're not going to be able to meet the bills next month, and you're not going to have enough money for yourself, and soon you'll be taking tztaka, and all sorts of things. Yidmeh be'inecha, he will make you focus on the fact that you're losing your money, right? You have less money in the bank account. V'yosem ha'resh l'negen einecha, he'll frighten you with thoughts of poverty, right? You want to give a little more tztaka, he's going to... the fantasy of poverty. Be askircha, and he'll sell, you know what it's like to be poor, how can you give away your money like that? Dalos hamaskenos v'achisaron, and you're not going to be able to buy your kids what they want, and you're not going to be able to have what you want, and you're not going to be able to meet your bills, and it's, you got to hold on to every penny. V'chein b'chol min mimini hamitzvos v'achasodim, he'll show you the black side of ruchnius. That's the common denominator here. This number 9 is saying that the Yetzer Hara is a genius at painting the black side of ruchnius and whitewashing gashmius. And he does it in different ways. So first he said, when things are going well, he'll make you rationally and logically attribute your success to your involvement in this world, and he'll urge you to do even more and more and more and more. If things are not going well, he will attribute it to the ruchnius part of your life and say you're a batlan and get to work and look at all the rishonim around you are being matzliach. If you're inspired to do something, And he'll say, you know, and he'll bring proof, ki'ilu proof, that tzaddikim have a rough life. So what do you want to be a tzaddik for? Don't you want to have an easy life? Like, it sounds almost rational. You worry about Olam Haba when you get to Olam Haba. But right now, it seems that the difficult lives are the people who are more ruchni. Or that's what he'll make you think. Or that's what he'll egg you on to think. And if he sees you're inspired and you want to get more ruchni, more closer to Hashem, he'll say it's too hard. You can't, fasting is too hard. Giving tzedakah is too hard. It's just being up at night to daven, that's too hard. So that's what he tries to do. Yidme beinecha avedos mamoncha v'yosmeresh negen einecha v'yaskircha dalos hameskenos v'achisorim v'chem b'chol min mimini hamitzvos v'chasodim yishtadu l'havchitcha, to scare you, u'lahagdil ho'inyan b'levad k'dei sh'terapa mimenu, so that you should leave off these ruchniyistika pursuits. And v'chasher takshav lasos aveira, since the other way, he'll be magdil, right? V'hanov and aveira is always painted in terms that are way beyond the actual few seconds of hanah that a person has. Yichabev locho hanah also, but he'll build it up. V'yashkircha onsho, it's mamish kishmak and enjoyable. V'yizariz oscho la'asoso v'linto seileha. Okay, so we don't have time to learn the answer. So you say, hi, Rav, you can't leave us like this, right? You, everybody go have a good time for a week and we'll come back. And we'll come back next week and then you'll have to do tshuva. The answer is, of course, the answer is very simple, to keep your wits about you and not to be taken in by this and to have proper Jewish values. It's as simple as that. to think about Olam Haba and how that's eternity, and it's your neshama, and that's who you really are, and that determines what kind of a person you are, and that determines your osid hanitzchi. And physical pleasures are fleeting, and kol shekein averus take you away from Hashem. And do you believe in Hashem or don't you? And if life seems to be rough, so maybe it is a nisayon, and the Rishon don't have it as good as you think. It's all the Yitzhara paints a fantasy picture, but they have miserable lives, probably more miserable. And if not, if it's the exception rather than the rule, certainly Bofan Klali, a firm person who does his best at Avodas Hashem, has a more pleasant life than not from people who are bored out of their minds, and who's as bad as our children seem to be to us. Believe me, the children of not from people is much, much worse, and they have much more issues with them and much more problems with them. And again, the Torah tries to think, get you to think not like that, but it certainly is like that. And sometimes it isn't a sion, and sometimes people have, no one had a rougher life than David HaMelech, right, who was as kemat as big as the Avos, and he had a miserable life, one could say. But he didn't think of it that way, as miserable. He thought of it as nisyonos, and he dealt with the nisyonos, and he became Merkava l'shchina, and the fourth wheel of the Merkava, if that means anything to anyone here. And he became as big as the Avos, kemat. And yeah, sometimes it is a nisyon, and you just have to hunker down. The bottom line is, if we'll learn next week what the Chavim Lubavitch has to say, but the best way really to deal with this is to say, listen, either believe or you don't believe. Again, like, I believe, but there's no but. If I believe that Hashem is out there and he's real, then I understand, and he wants me to live a certain way, and right, and this is what our Masorah teaches us. So he wants, then the more ruchni I am, the more connected I am to Hashem, and the more I'll benefit from it in this world, and if not in this world, then that's my mazel, but I'll have it in the next world, and maybe I'm having kaparas averus in this world, or maybe it's too many, many times the difficulties we're having would be solved many times, obviously not always, but many, many times the difficulties we're having would be solved if we would refine our midos or work at a certain midah, not as magic, but many times it's cause and effect, and you have a certain sorrow, and then you realize it's because you're acting improperly or inappropriately, arrogantly or superciliously, and maybe, you know, if you change a little and you're more open to other people and you're more accepting of other people, that maybe that'll solve the problem. Maybe. I'm just saying it's many times the nisayon is really an opportunity to become a better person. And but the ikar is to tell the Yetzirah, listen, life is black or white. They say, no, it is not black or white. It is black and white. Either believe in Hashem or you don't believe in Hashem. Either believe in Olam Haba or you don't believe in Olam Haba. And if you believe that Yofe Shoa Achas Koras Ruach of Olam Haba Mikol Chai Olam Hazeh, so all these things are not relevant. The Rishon can have it wonderful, and I can have a life of tzaris, and it's still worth it to get close to Hashem and to bond with Hashem. Not just worth it, it's like Ein Adoyme. I'm being Koner Ruchnius, I'm being Koner Dveikus Bashem, I'm being